Jones.
And Mike. Real radio for real people who are real enough to realize they really still have a few things to figure out. Jones is a hockey-playing, city-living, vegan bachelor who practices transcendental meditation when he's not biking to shows and Cub games. Mike's a beer-swilling, married father of four from suburbia. His motorcycling, marathoning, and martial arts are pretty much on the shelf while he limos children all over town to their activities for the next decade. Sound familiar? It's, you know, shit dudes say. About family. Women. Philosophy. Politics. History. People. Money. Pop culture. Kids. Fighting. Business. Life. Join the conversation. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike. 24/7 worldwide at jonesandmike.com. This hour, Jones sees racial differences when Prince posthumously packs people in a park. Plus Facebook fakers and Mike's God game plan. This is Jones and Mike. Jones and Mike. Jones, your boy, Prince, is taking it on his little wee dead chin yet again.
How is he taking it? How is he taking it on his dead chin? I was just at like a Prince celebration last
night. Oh, you were?
Yeah.
They're not disgusted that he had fentanyl, like, disguised. Like, I guess he was so devious. It's always the little wee ones that you have to watch out for. He was so devious in his abuse that he had, like, fentanyl, which is, like, some surgery painkiller type thing, recovery from surgery. When you, you know, when you can't have morphine at home, they'll give you fentanyl, apparently. Like, he had it disguised as, like, baby aspirin or something, which is, you know, that's the aspirin that Prince would take.
Well, is there any chance that it was mislabeled and someone was trying to poison him?
Oh.
That's what Dick Gregory would presuppose.
That's right. We have espoused the Eddie Griffin theory that, well, I have at least, that
yes,
all black men must have an asterisk next to their name. And Dick Gregory, the activist comedian from the 60s, or comedian in the 60s.
And I've never seen him be a comedian, though. I've never seen him be funny. I've only ever seen him be angry.
I kind of seen him, like, on, like, I don't know, the Dick Parr show, or was that the guy's name? Parr?
Oh,
Roger Parr.
No, Jack Parr.
Jack Parr.
Jack Parr.
Yeah, Jack Parr's show or something. Like, I've seen him doing his stand-up on one of those 60s variety shows or whatever, but, like, right away in the late 60s, man, he caught the activism bug, and then he went off the deep end, like, Dennis Kucinich-type crazy, like, talking about how, you know, there's UFOs and all sorts of stuff. Or, you know,
chemtrails.
Totally, yeah. Chemtrails and really, like, every black man must stay in shackles, even, like, superstars. So I'm pretty sure a Dick Gregory, unless he had some rivalry with him, would probably say that Cosby's being framed. Like, every black guy is getting screwed at some point, according to Dick Gregory.
That I don't know. Not about Cosby. But I do know he does think that Prince was killed.
Yeah,
by
yeah.
the powers that be.
Yeah, like that Prince knew too much. He had to be whacked.
Yes.
So, but you don't believe that the fentanyl that they're finding, and now they're, it's going to be, you know, for months probably.
Well, here's
or
the
years,
thing.
Probably really, now people yes. will start coming out of the woodwork and being like, well, yeah, one time he rolled up in his limo and, like, I
You're
sold
right.
him some drugs.
It's going to be months and years. And I actually thought about it this morning while I was making breakfast. I had the conscious thought, you know what? Don't worry about any of this Prince stuff for at least another year or so. And then maybe when the dust is settled and there's at least some conclusive narrative, then get into it. But
then
don't
you can
drive
worry
yourself
about it.
Crazy.
Yeah? You thought
I
about that?
I thought about that as I was making my waffles.
Oh, my heavens.
Yes.
Vegan waffles. Yuck.
Are
a good waffle needs an egg in it, dude.
They're not bad. They're not bad. You put a little almond butter on it, sprinkle it with raisins.
A little dry.
No, it's good. It's good stuff.
And so you were thinking about Prince because you went to a celebration of his life or something?
No, they played Purple Rain last night at the Pritzker Pavilion, and it was packed.
Yeah?
Packed. Like, I couldn't even get a, there's no way you were going to get a seat in the pavilion. There's no way you could get a spot out on the lawn. They have, like, the little concrete ramps
yeah.
off to the side of.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The place is really a marvel.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I got this, I got a really good spot next to the, they had like a little Goose Island beer tent. So I kind of wedged myself between the beer tent and one of the barricades for the ramp. Mm-hmm. And I had a good view of the screen. So I just stayed there. But my sister showed up later because she wanted to watch it with me. I don't know that she had ever seen it all the way through.
Really? That's heresy.
Yeah, and I was kind of surprised by that because she didn't know. A couple months back when we went to go see a Prince tribute band, they were good. They weren't awesome, but they were good. They brought out like more characters that played Morris Day and stuff. And she's like, I don't remember Prince dressing like that.
Really?
And it's like, because that's Morris Day.
Oh, jeez.
It's not even the same dude.
I don't remember Prince. I mean, he was narcissistic, but the mirror thing, I thought that was a little
over the top. So she didn't get all that. So now, even as the movie was going on, she was kind of giving off. I was getting a sense that she hadn't seen it all the way through. Mm-hmm. But she got there late, and they had barricaded off the... I didn't know this, but they rolled fences in place to barricade and keep part of the crowd out. And Eileen was like, oh my God, I was like, there was like some kind of like protest going on. And I finally just, when people turned away, I just shimmied my way through and I got in here. Like it was that packed. People had purple glow sticks.
Have you ever been to any of those? Like that's that summertime movie series they do there,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Where they show classic movie. Grease was there.
Yeah, that's
earlier.
What this is. That's what this
it's
is.
It's always in the same spot. This wasn't a special thing
for
Prince.
No, in fact, they came out and mentioned it before the show started. They said, we were just going to play Purple Rain this year, and then it kind of took on a more poignant tone with Prince's passing.
Well, we'll have to look and see if they're like a black cat. They hex you. If they schedule you... Like, they better not show any De Niro movies. We can't lose an American treasure like De Niro.
Well, they're showing The Dark Knight next week, so we already were in the clear on that, because that's already happened.
Oh, oops. And that's a Chicago favorite. Lots of Chicago landmarks in there. So, it was that packed. Have you ever been to another movie? Do you think it was Prince that packed
Prince.
It?
Prince packed it. Because I've seen other stuff when there's movies in the park, and it was kind of the older stuff or the more family stuff, like...
Finding Nemo
Maltese,
or something.
No, Maltese Falcon.
Oh, that's a family thing? That's like...
An old-time thing. But the Sandlot, that was a family thing.
I just saw that the other night, dude. You're killing me, Smalls. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it was. It was cute.
No, now I don't like it as much. Thanks for denigrating it right in front of me.
Well, I didn't mean to. You don't have to change your opinion.
I didn't realize I was watching something that was cute.
Well, it's cute. But anyway,
and if Dennis Leary is jarring in that to me, like I don't expect him to be the father.
Proper father.
That's
right. But last night, this was the most packed I've ever seen for an outdoor movie. And I to be honest with you, I went to go see the Blues Brothers at Wrigley Field.
The Blues Brothers?
Yes. And that might have even been a bigger crowd just given the venue, but it just wasn't as crazy packed.
Hmm. And the crowd. The crowd was, they were old, they were 80s.
I guess apparently CBS and some of these news outlets were doing stories on how big the crowd was, how diverse the crowd was, and how many people, from different backgrounds that they pulled in. So it was kind of absolutely accurate. When you were there, you saw whites, blacks, Latinos, you saw a whole array of people.
Really? A veritable smorgasbord?
A smorgasbord.
Of races.
Chicagoans, yes.
Of racialness and harmony. Yeah, it was a harmonious
It was harmonious. It was harmonious, but you did see some differences.
Differences, you don't say.
Not bad. A little difference is a little good.
Differences to be celebrated.
Yes.
Prince bringing us together still. It's Jones and Mike.
I've been very happy with the fish oil that I received. I trust that it's PCB, mercury-free, it's clean, it's wild-caught, and it's the best stuff that I found.
Chris is just one of thousands of satisfied Pacific Rim customers around the world and here in Chicago. You need omega-3s daily, but most of us here in Chicago do not get nearly enough of them from our diet. Even worse, if you're like me, you eat too much beef, and that drives up your omega-6s. Those are the omegas that lead to inflammation in your joints and in your arteries. As I like to say, omega-3s counteract the beef
sandwiches.
They lower cholesterol, reduce inflammation, joint and back pain, boost brain function and eyesight, improve circulation and performance, open your lungs, and give you a healthier heart. Why are you not getting all of these benefits from Pacific Rim Omegas? Try Pacific Rim for free. Just pay the shipping. This is an exclusive offer just for listeners of this radio station. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com and get your free trial of Pacific Rim. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
I love Purple Rain, probably most of all because I love Morris Day in Purple Rain.
I love Morris Day.
Like, he is such a great villain. He's funny. He's so charismatic, that guy.
Dastardly. And I'm telling you, dude.
Yeah, man.
When this song kicked up.
Yeah.
At the Pritzker Pavilion, the crowd. There is just something. When I was at the movie, you can see everybody's at the Pritzker Pavilion enjoying Purple Rain.
Mm-hmm.
All races, ages come together, love the movie, love the music. But it's obvious as I'm sitting there and observing the crowd.
Uh-huh.
Black people just have a greater need to dance than everybody else.
Don't be racist on this show.
No, it's not racist. It's an observation. When this song kicked in, every black person in the Pritzker Pavilion got the arms out, doing the bird.
Nice, really?
They had the whole thing, like, doing the bird. Hallelujah.
Was
across, like, it was just a sea of arms just attempting to fly.
Really? Did you get this on video?
I know, because when it kicked in at that point, it was kind of dark at that point, and I wasn't really going to... I thought about it, but I was like, no, it's just going to... It was that moment where it's like, do I try to get in video, or do I observe it with my eyeballs and take it in?
Good point.
That was so stark as compared to the other moviegoers, or compared to a couple years ago when I went to go see the Blues Brothers at Wrigley Field. You just didn't have that same complete commitment.
Were there, like, things that people would say in unison, like, we're, you know, it's half a bag of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses? But you'd imagine the honkies at Wrigley Field would get into that.
The only thing that I can remember was, in the beginning of the movie, when they're given Belushi, they're giving back, here's your glasses, here's one unused condom. And one guy, and it was funny, one guy in the crowd goes, use it!
Nice, yeah,
and everybody laughed. But that was about it. And that was, I would say, Purple Rain and Blues Brothers, they're fairly comparable in that they're very music-driven movies.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's a certain, if you're a fan of the album Purple Rain, you're going to be a fan of the movie. It's just the world's greatest music video. And if you enjoy the Blues Brothers, you probably enjoy all the blues music that's being played. But you didn't see that same electric reaction. The other thing that I noticed, and, like, honestly, as an observer, I loved it. The total commitment. So Morris Day and the Time Kick In, you have the bird, and the arms are flapping, and wow, hallelujah! And they're doing the whole thing, and it was great.
That's cool.
The other thing that was great was just black people cheer a movie like they're watching a sporting event.
They cheer the movie.
Like they were at the end of the movie when Morris Day and Prince the kid are having kind of this rivalry, and the kid's now going to take the stage.
Yeah.
Like, the crowd was like, get him, kid! Get him!
They don't know what's going to happen next, dude. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, and then they would cut to Morris Day, and Morris Day's in the hallway, and he's kind of watching the kid walk off, kind of nervous, like, what's he going to do?
Yeah.
And there were people in the audience who were like, you know it's coming! He knows it's coming, kid! He knows it's coming! Do it to him! Do it to him!
Oh, my God, he was a dying.
It was great. I'll say this. The only down point of it was...
Yeah.
Well, The movie itself, obviously with the 80s fashion and then the music, the music is from this iconic album from 1984. And talk about the nuts on Prince. That album came out in June of 1984. The movie came out 4 weeks later. He did an album and a movie at the same time. Like, that takes stones.
Well, and what was his claim to fame before that? Had he had hits? I don't remember.
Yeah, 1999, Little Red Corvette.
Oh, okay, so he was already an established star.
Yeah, he had Controversy. And
I guess I figured that, like, this was his launching
pad. I
Wanna
Be Your Lover. No, this is the album that put him in the stratosphere. I'd say he had about four to six hits before.
Wow.
Purple Rain. But Purple Rain was the one where every song was a hit. Everything was iconic. You know.
Interesting.
That's where it took off. But
I kind of remember him and Michael Jackson had a bit of a rivalry.
Well, and I think it was a fan rivalry. Who was more talented, you know?
And who was more talented, Jones?
You have to say Prince.
You're on Team Prince.
Yeah, you have to say Prince.
When it comes to, like, strange, drug-addled black guys from the 80s, you're on Team Prince.
I am on Team Prince. And very I also,
interesting.
Hey, maybe he was... I'm also on Dick Gregory's side, so maybe Prince was poisoned.
And in Tinfoil Hatland, I know you don't want to hear about it, but it does exist. They say Michael Jackson was whacked as well. And you got to admit that Dr. Conrad Murray, like, something's up with him.
He's not a dude.
Like,
he's
where did he, dude. Like, Michael could have had anyone, and he finds that guy?
I know. It was odd.
Come on.
Michael made some odd choices and some poor choices.
Conrad Murray, CIA Jones. But let's continue.
Yes, I won't go there. I won't go there.
When the people are all doing the bird in the crowd and they're all talking, were they talking over the movie? Because, like,
you may have heard
that that is a thing in the African American community.
It is a thing. Now, it was an outdoor movie.
Yeah.
So, and there was actually a black guy next to us that was talking to us during the film as well. But it was you're already kind of, you're with an outdoor movie. You're watching a movie that pretty much everybody has already seen. So it's not like, you know, you didn't have to be so perfect.
Isn't there a love scene in that movie when him and Apollonia?
Well, you saw Apollonia's bare breasts.
Apollonia.
Yeah.
Oh my God! They showed bare breasts and what?
Yep, they brought they brought it.
Doing the Mike Morris dance. Yeah, what is that, man? How big were her boobies at Pritzker Pavilion?
She was a beautiful lady. She was a beautiful.
Very endowed.
She may still be a beautiful lady, but watching the people observe this film. It was great. It was fun to see the enthusiasm. The only part where the enthusiasm went wrong, there was one guy, because as I was saying previously, the movie was very, you know it's going to be dated, the fashion, you know it's this iconic album.
Right.
The movie's about an iconic album from the 80s. But there were things in there where, like, their attitudes towards women, you would never see that in a movie anymore. Like, Prince backhands Apollonia at one point.
Oh, my.
And then 2 minutes later, they're, like, together and on a motorcycle and having a good time. Like, that would be the focal point of a movie now, that a man laid his hands on a woman. But this was just part of, like, they were upset. He was angry about something. And then they just, 2 minutes later, it was like, all right, let's go to dinner.
Really? I don't recall the movie going that way. I thought she was pissed at him for a little bit. Really?
No, it was pretty quick.
It was that, like,
she
forgave
was, like,
him?
Yeah, and they didn't talk about it. Like, why'd you hit me? I'm like, my dad. Like, there was none of
that. If you ever do that again.
Yeah, there was none of that stuff. Like, there was even, do you remember the opening scenes where some woman goes to give Morris Day a hard time? And he's like, Jerome. And Jerome picks up the woman and throws her in a dumpster. Like, body slam.
Oh, that's classic
like
comedy
WWE.
Right there.
No, but that's like, you would never see that now. So there was that dated kind of stuff, particularly the violence towards women. And
the way he treated Lisa and what's her name?
Wendy, yes.
The two lesbians. Yeah,
yes.
He really mistreated them.
Well, he just wasn't. He wasn't very pleasant to them.
Yeah, mistreating lesbians, mistreating women. You're right. Now you're...
It's kind of
I'm coming
odd.
Out on
and
your
then
side.
The other thing was at one time, Morris Day refers to Prince as a faggot. You would not hear...
I'm going to have to suspend you from the show if you continue talking out like this. I know you're just quoting a movie there, Jones.
I thought that was fine if I'm quoting a movie.
Who said that? His name is Jones.
I'm just quoting a movie. I didn't think there'd be anything wrong with that.
Man.
But I'm citing that example to say how different things were back then.
Yeah, you're saying now, that there are movie producers wouldn't put that word or any
But not in that way. Like because
violence
the way,
against women in yes, a movie today.
Correct. That you would know. Not. No, you wouldn't use that line in a movie because that was it was used as kind of a ha 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 got ya. You wouldn't use that as
that
a
was just the 80s. We called each other
it.
That all the time.
I get it. That's the point I'm
that
making.
That was the same as a geek and a dork.
I know. I get it. I totally,
a little worse.
I understand. And that, but while I was watching the movie, Eileen's making these observations.
Your
we're
sister,
talking back
yeah.
and forth about it. And they get to the scene where Prince backhands Apollonia and he kind of gets on top of her. Now, the whole audience, throughout the whole film, the music, when Prince is going after Morris Day, they're into it. This one guy who is, Prince is like slapping her, he's on top of her, he's like, yeah!
No!
Yeah, get it!
What?
Get it!
Get it!
And he was shouting, get it! And I was just like, he was the only guy. He was the only guy who was like, Stop. Stop chanting now. Stop cheering.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but this guy I think loved violence. Cause then, you know, later in the film when Prince's father shoots himself in the head and Prince is like contemplating suicide.
Doesn't he survive it, that old man? Tough as nails.
Clarence Williams III. He's unstoppable.
Wow.
But then at the end of the movie, that goes down, and Prince is contemplating suicide, and then he picks up that bat, and he starts smashing everything in
that's
the basement.
Right. Yeah.
Now, that's not as stomach-churning, but this guy, again, was like, yeah, smash it up! Smash it up!
What? Like, oh, yeah. A black guy?
Yeah.
That the sounds something guy. That a boneheaded honky would do.
It sounded very Beavis and Butthead, but he could not stop chanting. During the movie.
Did he have special needs or something? Like, that's bizarre.
I don't know, because he did... He was on the ramp that led down to the pavilion seating. And then he would kind of... After he would go, yeah! Then he would, like, charge 20 feet up the ramp and then back
what?
Down the ramp. Like, get it! Get him!
Were you kind of, like... Moving away from him? I'd be a little afraid, man.
Excuse me. No, I was on the other side of this wall. So I was elevated
good.
In a way. But it was
jeez.
Just...
Jeez, and were people like, what's this guy's deal?
No, everybody was just kind of watching the movie. It was like that's how he watches the movie.
Oh, my
that,
God.
That's kind of how it was taken as.
So I have some tape. Of you at this, let's get a little flavor of you.
Oh, is this the end?
At Pritzker Pavilion.
Yeah, just to hear the passion of the crowd. I hope
it's better than Passion of the Christ, I think. This is actual the end.
Oh, yeah. That's my sister. She's like, is that the end? Because at the end of the movie, Prince just looks back with his Bambi eyes.
That's
and
right.
Then they do the freeze frame and roll the credits.
Yeah, it's really cheesy.
She was just like, that's it?
That sounds like a concert, dude. That sounded like, and that was crowd noise
crowd
of the
noise.
People in the crowd,
crowd
not
noise.
The crowd in the movie necessarily.
No, because they have the crowd, there is a crowd at the end of that movie, but then they take it down and then they're just playing the music to Baby I'm a Star. And then people in the audience, they were shouting and screaming and then purple glow sticks, like going crazy.
Oh my God.
It was awesome. It was a great time. You know, the only thing that I was a little uncomfortable with was when the one guy started cheering when Prince beat down Apollonia.
Yeah.
You know.
I think that's something
think
like
that through, sir.
Let's be honest. Every guy cheers that on, but you got to do it silently. You do that in your head.
I don't think Apollonia deserved that treatment.
She did not deserve. Had she given him the guitar by that point, because that
ooh,
was a pretty nice guitar.
Yes. I'm trying to remember that now. That's funny. I don't believe she had.
Yeah.
But you remember after she gives him the guitar, she then says that she's joining Morris's band, and then he freaks out again.
Yeah, see.
It was very the two probably shouldn't have been together.
Maybe I should have gone with you. It's also fuzzy now. So, you believe that the racial diversity of the event made the event? Like if it was at Wrigley Field with all the honkies you saw Blues Brothers with, it doesn't sound like it would have been as much fun.
Yes, I do feel that way. There was a larger commitment to having a good time with it. And you know, I've also observed that in other arenas of the city. And you know, I work a block away from Daily Plaza, and every mm-hmm. Tuesday they do like this Chicago house music, work it out at the noon hour thing.
Yeah.
And I've gone by there, And it's all black office workers just working it out. And it's just like, we're renting the house. Ouch, 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 ouch. But it's like that old school. It's not like techno. It's like that old school, like early 80s stuff. And everyone is out there just kind of just doing a quick little bump and grind
like
on
in,
their lunch
hour. Like in pantsuits and stuff?
Yeah, yeah. And like, no, in their office, whatever they wear in the office.
That's what I mean.
Like you see them and it's like, yeah, whatever they wear in their office. It's like, no, those are all office workers. Instead of maybe they quickly ate lunch at their desk and then they went to go down on Tuesdays at like noon to go dance. And I went over there one time and was actually quite offended because I was sitting there watching it and I was getting like closer and closer. And then this one woman was walking around with like flyers for whatever other events they're running as related to these, you know, the lunch hour work it out DJs.
Yeah.
And she was like walking and like going right towards me and then just kind of looked up and I'm telling you, she saw my whiteness and turned and then she handed the flyer to someone who was clearly homeless and was just like laying on a bench.
But you're the right skin color, sir. You have a shot at coming, I know.
She picked him over me and I was just
meanwhile, like, what? You're like, I totally was into that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, it was. So I'm just saying, I think there is a greater commitment to having a good time
all the time.
All the time.
In the
that is their philosophy, Monty.
In the black community.
It just seemed it. I didn't see. Look, there wasn't, as I'm seeing people going crazy and like, what? Hallelujah! And doing the bird. I wasn't like, yeah, I saw a bunch of black people doing it, and I saw a bunch of Latinos doing it too. It just was more prominent, more obvious that. Once that movie went on, there was a stronger commitment to throwing yourself into it and enjoying it.
Yeah. So yeah,
among
that's,
black attendees.
Okay, right on. So they are less inhibited in public or in groups.
It's funny
in groups of other blacks. Like, what is it?
No, I just think that
are
was,
you inhibited? Did you do the bird? Would you do the bird?
It's funny. Yes, I will do the bird, and here's why I do the bird, and I've done the bird.
I give you the bird, but I don't know if I would do the bird.
I've done the bird, and I've done the bird at the House of Blues when I went to see that Prince tribute band, because there's a part in the song where Morris Day says, when he says to white people, shake your head like the black folks, you might get some tonight. And I kind of, I know that song, I know that line is coming, so I always make sure I'm moving at that point. Because if anybody, I swear to you, I consciously think to myself, if any black person turns around, I want them to see like, all right, he knew the song, he's already moving.
Yes.
So I know it, I know, I love the song, I know it well, so as soon as I hear, white folks, shake your head like black folks, you might get some night, I'm already moving. It's planned. It's organized.
You're a lunatic. So you're like, you're strategic in your public, you know, showmanship or whatever. You're acting out. You're not just like, what you're describing is
out.
Like black people. You're describing like how they are, how a white person would perceive them, like in church, for example. Like, you know, Jesus is just taking over the body. Like they just can't help themselves. Like that's what our perception is. And you're describing it as such. But you're saying that when you do something publicly, you're almost doing it in a calculated way.
At that particular part of the song, The Bird, because he references white people.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But do you ever, like, I've seen you make a spectacle. Like, I won't go to the Bears-Packers game with you because you make a spectacle of yourself.
I'm not afraid to do it, no. But it's not like it's something 24/7. Like, I probably knew all of the songs, even when you got, even removing the Prince songs, I probably knew the words to Sex Shooter as much as any black person in the audience.
Whoa.
I probably knew Jungle Love. I probably knew the words as well as any black person at the audience.
All right, you can hang in their community,
like,
but can you be black?
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't feel like when I was going to see Purple Rain, I didn't think like, all right, well, I'm going to sing this, and once this kicks up, I'm going to go crazy and I'll need my space. I was happy to sit there and just kind of know, okay, I know these songs, I love this song, blah,
right,
blah, blah.
Right, yeah.
But when I know that part and the bird is coming up with, you know, white folks shake your head like the black folks, I want to make sure I'm moving.
Like, this sounds like pandemonium. Like, I want to be there. I wish I were there.
It was great.
like some of this is the is that scene, but you can hear the crowd.
Oh, I'm way back. Like, I'm not up by the speakers. I'm out of the pavilion area. I'm out of the seated, the lawn.
Were there any, like, honkies that were perturbed by the party atmosphere? Like, I always imagine, like, people going there with, like, wine and stuff and coolers.
There was
like
one.
Like, it's Ravinia.
There was one when my sister and I were talking to the black guy next to us. She kind of looked up, and he kind of winced and, like, oh, I think maybe my voice is a little too deep, and maybe I was bothering her watching the movie. And I was like, we're in the middle of a park, like... No, it's not like this is not, you don't go, this isn't like the Gene Siskel Festival.
Yeah, right.
It's like, no, it's, you're in
that.
The middle of a park.
Yeah.
You're watching a movie pretty much everybody has seen except my sister.
Yeah, really? And, what planet is she from?
And yeah, you can talk through it.
That's your darn tootin'. Now,
we weren't invading her personal space.
But it doesn't sound like talking through it. Like, I've always heard, like, at Harlem Corners and stuff, like, you can't even watch a movie because there's so much talking and shouting and bedlam happening when it's a predominantly black audience, like it mostly is at Harlem Corners.
I wouldn't know that. But
I've never experienced that either.
This is what I observed at the Pritzker Pavilion. It was an open-air pavilion.
Yeah.
And given I've already seen this movie, given what the movie was, and the movie's more about the music, I was totally fine with it.
So you never felt compelled to be like, shh,
no.
Be quiet.
No.
This is a very important part.
Dude, you hear at the end of the movie, like, what the crowd was like. The crowd was as much fun as the movie.
Do you want to be black on some level?
I don't think so.
No? All right, you're good? You're good?
I think I'm good with this. As Chris Rock says, I'm going to let this white thing ride out.
You're good with just kind of dipping your toe into the waters every now and then.
Well, no. I just went to see Purple Rain, and I made an observation. There were people that were really fully committed to having a good time
it sounds
all the
like,
time.
Yeah, it sounds
did.
Like you're saying that they're more fun than white people. And maybe I don't understand why you wouldn't want to be around that fun all the time.
I don't know. Maybe that's what I've just come to learn last night.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing, Jones.
My pleasure.
Now I know who to bring. How many more Prince retrospectives are you going to go to this year?
I know. Like, I've really done a lot.
You're taking it hard.
It's been a tough year.
You and his sister.
It's been a really tough year.
Well, the year's not getting any better for me. The God Show returns are in. More on that next, Jones and Mike.
When it comes to finding a holistic doctor near you, where can you turn for help? When you need a cancer doctor who will advocate for a non-surgical, non-chemical course of treatment, where can you find her? When you need a chiropractor or acupuncturist, when you need help with ailments that many doctors and even hospitals just plain turn away, like Lyme disease, who can help you with natural solutions and strategies for diabetes? When you need help to find an integrative, functional, complementary, alternative approach, option, and practitioner, the Health Freedom Network is there. Since 2009, the Health Freedom Network has been a leading resource for natural medicine and health information and research. Now we're also your best resource to give you access to the top docs in a number of specialties, from cancer to stroke, and in modalities from chiropractic to dentistry. The Health Freedom Network's directory at healthfreedomnetwork.com. Better information for better choices. Find your new health practitioner at www.healthfreedomnetwork.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones and Mike, if you want to ask Jones a question, you want to comment on the show, whatever's on your mind, it's info@jonesandmike.com, info@jonesandmike.com. I think we're going to do like some mailbag segments coming up, Jones, like maybe Ask Jones.
I would love that.
I think that you're the man with the answers on the early returns on the God Show that we did recently, when we talked a lot about religion. And the early returns are that you need to toughen up.
Toughen up.
Yeah, I've been seeing some of the messages on Facebook, some of the notes
really
coming in, and still the early returns. But so far, the early returns are that your stance that, you know, religion's a waste of time, and what does it all mean? It's not resonating with people. How do you respond? Respond to your critics.
I think that people should be kinder to someone who is clearly going through an existential crisis.
Yes.
And I think that you need to take that into account when you hear someone breaking down, or when you hear someone breaking down in your little earbuds, that maybe you should just take a step back.
Yeah.
And know that I'm searching.
Your vulnerability was palpable, frankly, and your... As a hardcore Catholic, I took umbrage.
You're not a hardcore.
Is it umbrance? I took one of the two. I took it against you. I am a hardcore Catholic. In fact, I will be a home catechist. You've heard of a homeschooler?
Yes.
I'm homeschooling.
Because you don't want to go to church.
No. I am home catechisticking. I'm homeschooling my kid's religious ed. Like, so in order for him to do communion with the rest of the second graders, we kind of made him a strategic error. We didn't have him enrolled in religious education last year. So now we have to double up and do 2 years of God teaching in 1 year. So he's going to go to the church and get the second grade rel ed. And then the first grade rel ed, we're faking like he was homeschooled last year. Not faking.
No, we're not lying.
They told us. They were like, Mark, homeschooling down in the comments section of the form, and then we'll give you a book, and we'll check in with you twice to make sure he's on track and you're actually doing it, but you're going to teach him the drill. And I'm like, bring it on. I'm all about that.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know that that makes you a hardcore Catholic.
Oh, I didn't say that that's why I am. I'm just saying that I am, and I'm willing to, like, I want my kids to be... to make the sacraments and all of that stuff. But I got to admit, I'm not looking forward to this curriculum.
Okay.
Because I've already started teaching about him about the Bible and about our religion and stuff. And some of the stories are hard to teach to teach a child.
Okay.
Because I hear it coming out of my own mouth and I'm like, oh, maybe Jones is right.
We eat of his body and drink of his blood.
I know, it sounds like a cult. I know. It sounds crazy.
So so how are you planning on handling this?
Not well. Not well.
So, but have you and Jill talked this out? Strategically, how are we going to approach this? So what is, okay, here's a question. If there's some of it that sounds crazy, is there any point of view, part of you, I should say, that you feel like, all right, Dom, now this part I don't really buy into.
Yeah.
Like, do you feel like you're going to do that, or are you just going to try to still commit whole hog and...
Yeah, my experience with religious education in the burbs is that most of it is spent in the New Testament, so there's not a lot of, like, burning bush and, like... you know that story, that old classic family favorite.
That old yarn.
There's not that whole, like, God told him to kill his son, and Abraham was about to slay his son, and then God said, whoa, wait, just kidding.
Right.
Just wanted to see if you would do it, man. You're my homeboy. You know, like, there's not a lot of that stuff, so I don't have to do the fire and brimstone scary stuff with them.
What I want to do is hear when Dom recounts his education to other people, and he's, and then Abraham came forward to kill his son, and then God was like, whoa, I was just, chill out, homie. I want to hear him heartfelt reciting your version of these biblical tales.
Well, I gotta be honest, man. I was kind of hoping you would help me do some of the heavy lifting because you are his godfather.
Yes, I know.
But
what would you like me to do?
What didn't you sign on for doing this sort of thing, like this exact thing, actually?
I know, but isn't that just kind of like...
disingenuous, because now you're like a Hindu goddess worshiping heathen.
Frankly
going to hell.
No, look, I am doing all I can to grow as an individual. And if you listened to the show last week, you can tell sometimes it's painful. So I can't just reverse the process. If I feel that I'm going down a particular path,
yeah,
I may be able to come back years from now and go, Dom, you should go down this path. Or, no, Dom, don't follow your Uncle Brian. Stay on this path.
Yeah, all right, well, at least, okay, you're being authentic. I can appreciate that. I'm sure there are lots of parents who have been given the same assignment that I'm being given, and they were like, oh, God, just give me the teacher's edition. I'll read it verbatim, and I'll get it. I don't believe any of this drivel, but I know that his grandparents want him to do the sacrament, so I'll do it.
And so what percentage would you say you believe? And I'm not, if I had kids, I don't know what I would do. I don't know if I would do anything that different. I don't know.
Are you asking me to admit if I'm a creationist or not? Like that, like literal interpretation of the Bible?
Well, what would you have, what would some of your challenges be? What would you have a hard time? Clearly it's the eating of the body and drinking of the blood.
Yeah, the whole book of Leviticus, isn't that the book where it's all the rules of that's like the rule book?
Yes.
That would be a real tough one.
Okay.
That would be a real tough one. The story of Passover, they had to take lamb's blood, they had to put it over the doors, or else the angel of death would come and take your firstborn son. Like, there's some pretty whack stories in there, dude.
I know. So, now, would you...
I know. As I say it, I go, this is nuts.
I know.
It's totally nuts.
I know.
You know what I did, dude? At work, dude, I took a Quran and I put it on my desk at work.
Why? Why would you do that?
So people would think I'm forward-thinking.
Why? What does that mean? How would that be forward thinking?
Well, look at that Noonan guy, that Irish Catholic. He totally. I did bring it in to read it on my lunch breaks.
Oh my God!
Because I've read it, but I want to read it again.
You suck at the office place.
I cannot believe that we have to hear about this book every friggin' day. So I've read it, but I have to read it again. It's been about 12 years. I've noticed it's just on my desk.
No,
and I didn't take it off my desk, and now I'm like, well, now I'm not going to take it off.
That's so no. You need to take it off. That's just weird. It's weird. Why would you do that?
Well, because it was an honest mistake. But now I'm like, oh, whatever. Maybe these liberals will love it. Maybe they'll dig it.
I don't know.
I got to be honest. If I put the Bible on my desk, that would be a no. That'd be a non-starter. Do you agree? Yes.
I think that deep down, if you were to poll all Americans, not verbally, but if you were able to look in their soul, they would rather see, and I'm talking about the most leftist-leaning liberal people on earth, they would still rather see a Bible than a Quran.
Really?
Oh, yeah, come on.
Even a Libby place like where I work?
Totally.
They'd be like, oh, Noonan's got the King James out on his desk. NBD. They all speak in shorthand. So GTK, NBD, and they keep walking.
Yes, I do believe that. That they would have an easier time accepting that than a Quran.
I don't think so at all.
I know so.
I'll find out. I will find out when I get fired. That in my exit interview, I'll ask.
Was it the Quran?
Was it that Quran I strategically placed on my desk for 6 months?
But now
Noonan's got the weirdest paperweights.
So getting back to the Bible, though.
Yeah. Which parts am I gonna? It's mostly gonna be New Testament and the New Testament outside of a few of Jesus's more fantastic miracles.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be pretty much a breeze.
But there are some things that you just don't believe in, right?
In the New Testament?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I know that when I did detention, and I did detention a lot, I would bring the Bible with. You could bring whatever book you wanted, but I always brought the Bible. And I read Apocalypse, the Book of Apocalypse. I must have read it 100 times.
The Book of Apocalypse?
The Revelations. Oh. But, I mean, of course they softened it or whatever, after Vatican II. But before Vatican II, it was the Book of Apocalypse. The Four Horsemen and the whole nine, right? And I loved that story.
Yeah, but that's kind of
that's like Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay, do you believe in the miracle of the loaves and fishes?
Yeah, that's, I'm going to get on board with that one.
Okay.
I am going to get on board with that one. I'm
going to
get on board with the...
I'm going to get on board with
because I was thinking of the wedding feast of Cana, when Mary's like, oh, Jesus, we're out of wine, and who wants to be at a wedding without wine? So of course Jesus is like, oh, I'm not supposed to reveal myself as you know,
I'm not supposed to do this Harry Potter thing, yeah. But okay.
Oh, they saw the lightning bolt on my forehead. I guess I got to do this thing. So I'll wave my wand, and here we go. Now the cat's going to be out of the bag big time when all of a sudden everyone's three sheets to the wind, and we only had one little thing of wine. So I dig that because I dig Mary. I like that he paid homage to his mother. You got to listen to your mom.
But do you believe that happened?
You got to pay attention to your mom, Jones.
It's
okay.
That's
all I'm
going to
say. You got to pay attention to your mom.
I am going to keep.
Yes, it happened. Yes, it happened. Jesus can do everything and anything. Yes, everyone got drunk because of Jesus. Yes, I believe the story.
I'm not putting you down for doing this. And the, you know, the eating of the body and the drinking of the blood. And the
all right, you
got to
keep bringing it up like that. It sounds like, you know, you're when a heathen says it, it lacks the there's a certain
I've made it clear
ring to it when a man of God says it. When a heathen says it, it does sound like you got a little snarkiness in your voice.
I've made it clear that I really wished in my heart that I was believing in all this stuff. I really do. Because there was a comfort in having that system.
So you believe in none of it. Go on the record, Jones. Rip that Band-Aid off. You can't be a little pregnant.
Yeah, no, I would say that I don't believe. Well, I mean, here, I will say in what we've talked about, yes, I believe in none of it, in what we've discussed. Like, if I were to say I don't believe in any of it, and then someone would say, oh, you don't believe Jesus existed? No, I didn't say that. But when you're talking about that all of a sudden, like,
the
he
miracles,
just created, like,
right.
all this these loaves and fishes, no, I don't believe in it.
Oh,
at the time
man.
When I grew up and went down that track and believed yeah. in it, it was a wonderful, comforting time. I wish I was still there.
It was a simpler time when I believed complete drivel told to me by elders.
I miss that time. I absolutely
now you're the
do.
Elder passing down the drivel,
and
honestly.
I'm the elder going like, oh my God, I don't know what to think or do. So,
did your parents struggle with this stuff at all? Did they ever like confide in you? I don't think so. Your mom was hardcore.
She was. My father just went along the track. That's what you did, Irish Catholic. My mother was very hardcore. But in the end, she was very dismayed with, you know, dying from cancer, praying, and got to a point where she felt she couldn't pray anymore.
Oh,
and
like she kind of felt like, why have you betrayed me?
To a degree, yes. Yeah. And you know, kind of was scared about her passing. Where do I go? What do I do? You know?
Really?
Oh, yeah. She said those exact words.
That sucks, because you would think that someone like your mom, the rosary every day and the prayer groups, and like she had friends because of the rosary. Like she was
right.
so hardcore, right?
Right.
So like if she struggled to that degree with her faith, like what hope is there for like me?
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, you get to the end and the end was very The end would be tough anyway, but the end was very
difficult.
Yeah,
she had a pretty tough end.
Yes. And then you just kind of wonder, how does this play out? Now, when she admitted that, the nice thing is our cousin was there, our Martin, who's a priest, and they were always very close, and he was always very comforting to her. So she addressed him saying, he asked, are you scared? And she said, yes, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. And, you know, it was just almost very childlike.
But here's the thing. You said that okay, so it doesn't have to be that there's an afterlife that involves religion or
right.
Catholicism.
Yeah,
but you believe,
an afterlife.
That, she contacted you after death, yes?
I can't say that. Now, when I saw her when she was in hospice, I saw her reacting in a very spiritual manner. To things that weren't in the room.
I thought that you like had like dream that you thought was reality and stuff.
Yes, yeah, but I can't say.
It could have been a dream.
I know. All I can tell you is that was my experience. Dreaming that she was coming to me and talking to me.
And saying it's fine. And I'm
yes,
here.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
great.
Yeah. But I can't say. Like.
Right. It could have been
I'm
your brain
you,
playing a trick on you.
Yes. When I'm telling you that I was observing my mother having these spiritual reactions, I was in my waking state, as I'm conscious state, as I'm talking to you now,
yeah.
observing it. So I can
right.
tell you I saw that.
Oh. Were you on fentanyl?
I was not, although maybe the bottle was mislabeled.
That's true. Maybe
I don't know.
Okay. And so, but
I did start taking Ambien after all that.
When you, your junkie fantasy.
Which I don't know why. Honestly, I don't know how people get addicted to Ambien. I wasn't addictive at all.
Yeah.
They're weak, lily-livered
Americans.
I have to say that. Like, I've taken Ambien a couple of times, and it was like, it gives you, knocks you out, gives you a great night's sleep, and then I'd do it for a night or two, and then I wouldn't have to go back to it.
Yeah.
And then a month or two later, I was like, man, I really need a good sleep again. I take an Ambien.
Is Ambien sweeping the nation alongside of fentanyl?
It's up there.
Oh, all right.
It's up there.
And so do you, when you, so before we move on here, when you move on, is it ashes to ashes, dust to dust? Jones, you're dead to us and that's it? Or does your energy live on? Is there an afterlife?
I'm one of those energy live on people.
Okay. But you just, beyond that,
I don't know what it is.
Right. You're not willing to get on board with this whole mystical fantasy land that there's 144,000 rooms in the kingdom of heaven for each of the chosen ones.
I know. I certainly don't want to be on board with that because I don't think I'd finish in the first, I don't think I'd finish in the top 140,000 or whatever.
Yeah, that's stinking thinking. You got to aim high, bro. There's been there's 6 billion people on Earth now, but like only a billion of them believe. So like, there's 5 billion just going to hell, and then like all time, there's probably been another 6 billion all time.
Yeah, you're kind of convincing.
So out of 12 billion, it's like you against. You know, your odds are not as bad as you would think. I think people think like, oh, there's been like 17 trillion people. It's like, no. Most of those people worshipped rocks. They're all going into the lake of sulfur and fire. Don't worry about it, Jones. You're in.
All right. I'm a made man.
But in the meantime, I'm going to need your godfather to my firstborn son card back. The one in your wallet that I gave you one time, I'm going to need that back.
All right. As long as you know you have someone to give it to.
Yeah, I could pick anybody. It'd be better than the heathen.
Well, better than the guy who's thinking about it, who's putting his thoughts.
It's like I don't even know you.
Actually,
it's like after 25 years, I don't even know you.
Name another godfather that works as hard on God as Jones.
Yeah, you do
a
lot
out
of
there.
But it's almost like you're being fake. I'm so tired of people being fake.
I can't even believe you said that.
More about fake people next, Jones and Mike. Another Pacific Rim Omega customer speaks.
My name is Tony G. I was very impressed by taking the product and the purity of the pharmaceutical grade of the omega-3 fish oil. I really felt very, very good by taking the product. As far as my mood, I noticed the collagen in my face and some of the lines that have disappeared, my nails, my hair. I highly recommend this product, Pacific Rim. I really, really enjoy the product, and I look forward to purchasing more products in the future.
Find out what Tony and thousands of other people know. Pacific Rim Omegas are the best thing you can do for your health. And get 59% off your order right now when you take advantage of this special exclusive offer. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com right now and save 59% off your order of Pacific Rim Omegas or call 877-324-4227. That's radio.mydailyomega.com. radio.mydailyomega.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones, I was out to dinner with some friends, a mutual friend of both of us the other night.
Yes.
And they said the goofiest thing. They were like talking about how people that they know are having the best life ever. And I said, how do you know? And they're like, well, look at their Facebook pictures.
Oh, please.
They literally, and I'm like, that, you know, that's fake, right? Like, you guys both make like good money. You guys got this fat house. Like, you guys have a lot going for you, and you are literally looking at Facebook, I believe, with like envious eyes. And not only that, you're believing that what you see is reality, and that shocked me.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy, and I think people are losing their minds tapping into every, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Instagram, and watching all these other people kind of curate their lives.
Yeah.
And control how they are going to be perceived. And then other people take that in, and then they feel the weight of this perfect life before them.
Yeah, I didn't even get to the flip side of it, which is, are you guys impacted by what you're seeing? Like, are you, does behind closed doors, does it impact the way you think about yourself when you look in the mirror? Or does it change the way you put things out there in the world?
Well, I know with absolute certainty people in my life that have gotten off of Facebook because they felt it depressed them because of the lives that they were seeing before them, where they felt like, I should be having that life. I should be doing those things. I should be at those vacation spots. My relationships should
really
look like that. Yeah. And they were just like,
God,
I was going crazy with it. So I had to get off.
I don't want to laugh at you if you're listening. But like, that's,
well, in
that's
a way,
shocking to me. I mean, every now and then I'm annoyed by it when people I know that are, I'm on my 19th vacation this month. And it's like, I get annoyed by the tediousness of it, because I feel like if you're going to put something out there, there should at least be an attempt to have some me in mind. Like, what would be valuable to me as the watcher, reader, user, the end user?
Well,
it shouldn't just be a one-way street where you just show me your ass.
Well, and that's the thing. People, I think, are more and more using it as a one-way street. And I don't think it's healthy, because I think now you're going through, you see these people going through life, and if they are not taking, when they're not taking that perfect picture of themselves, they're struggling to even have kind of a positive thought about themselves, because they can't, they're so addicted to putting together that perfect image, that perfect picture of who they are and the life that they're living. Once they're not doing that, then they feel so much more unperfect than their representation. And I think it's really even depressing the people who are like constantly curating their Facebook pages. And I constantly see people in my life, whether it's friends, family, people I work with, taking pictures of themselves, tilting their head a certain way. No, delete it. No, do it again.
No, you see people in real life doing that?
Absolutely. In fact, I have been instructed at times, like I saw something funny happening at work. This was months ago. I went to take a picture of, there were two of the girls at the office were sitting, were right by their desks. They were both texting, and they both had their left foot up on the chair, like almost like a flamingo as they were texting. And I just thought it was funny. Like, they were so absorbed with texting. They were in the same stance. I went to take the picture, and one of the girls turned around. And I go, oh, you guys are both standing like that as you were texting. She goes, oh my God, that'd be a cute picture. Here, go ahead, take it. And then she put the foot back up on the chair. I'm like, I'm not going to take it now. Like,
well,
but she was
imitating what had been real anyway. So
I know,
they were just reenacting something that was real.
But the purpose of it was, that would be a cute picture, and that she would want it, rather than me like, hey, check out this picture. You guys were kind of like doing the same thing.
Yeah.
It was like, oh no. We'll redo it. Set up here. Blah blah blah. Now here is, I pulled this up.
Okay.
This is what I was thinking of. This is the perfect picture that illustrates this to me.
Okay.
Now, it's actually, I know as we've gone through the conversation to this point, we've mainly been hitting the people who are curating that image and putting out there how they want to be seen.
Right.
The flip side of that is, I'm now starting to think, who are all these people that are taking these specialized shots of somebody else? Like, even when the girl,
you believe
work,
there's like an industry of,
not an industry, but I'm just saying, like,
or movement.
Well, there has to be people. Who is the person in your social circle where you go, okay, this is, I want the picture here where, you know, my bicep looks like this, his bicep looks like that. You stand over there and you take the picture.
Yeah.
Like, who's the jerk that just has to do this? So look at
that's
this
me
picture.
That would be
now
me.
This is a former coworker.
Oh my God,
look at that. Now here's this picture. She had up, like, on her, the backdrop of her Facebook.
So that's like her header on her Facebook page.
The header on her Facebook page.
Yeah.
And it is, she's an attractive young lady. She is on a boat in the playpen with three of
Lake Michigan.
Two
so
other,
the playpen
yes.
is like the windbreaker.
Right,
yeah,
by
the
Ohio
water breakers
Street Beach,
are all
yep.
around. So it's real calm in there. It's like a party atmosphere, right?
Right. And look at this picture. It's her in a bikini, two of her attractive friends in bikinis. Yeah. I'm guessing this is all of their boyfriends, and they're all kissing each other exactly the same way with the skyline in the background.
That's right.
Now, okay, here's
so they're
two.
All so the dudes are all shirtless, the chicks are all in bikinis.
Yes.
Nice boobies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, who is the jerk that couldn't make the
me.
Cut
That's me.
To be in the picture?
I'm the seventh
and then,
wheel.
And then you sit there like an idiot taking a picture of these people posing and kissing each other on a boat. And look, then this poor guy, like these guys, you know, where's his abs?
Yeah, he looks fat. And then they're clutching red Solo cups. I hate when people take a picture and they all have to take their drink and put it out in front of them. Like it's a Miller Lite commercial.
Right, right. Well, and this would certainly be the crowd that would do
but
that.
That's, so, but, yeah, this does look very
it's
like
so,
professionally done almost.
Yes, yes. And now here they were just enjoying a summer day. But no, they've got to have this specialized presentation and some jerk friend of theirs. Now, here is another shot. Now, it's a picture. Okay, here's this guy golfing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, that's like kind of just a normal shot.
Yeah.
But as you go through the pictures, now these are all like almost what you would see in Golf Digest. Solo
yeah, they do look professional. Yeah.
Of solo shots of him taking. Look, that looks like Tiger Woods contemplating what he's
that's
going
right.
to
it
do.
That's right. It looks like an SI photog was following him.
Yes. And
that dude has the means. It might have been, actually.
Well, look at this shot. Like, the balls in. I mean, that's like Sports Illustrated.
Where's he at?
I don't know.
Because one of my buddies went to St. Andrews this year.
Well, this is all. Okay. You might be onto something. I know this was in Scotland.
Yeah, so my buddy went to St. Andrews, and he's got, like, a shot, I think, on his Facebook page, but whatever, of him, like, coming out of the bunker with, like, that iconic building, whatever
yes,
that
yeah.
is.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
that it looks ugly. It looks like a big, nasty-ass mansion at St. Andrews. That course looks ugly or whatever, but you instantly know it's St. Andrews, and that's kind of cool. Like, and he's not, like, a, you know, he's just a normal dude. So that, I'm like, I applaud that. That's cool. You went and did something awesome, and for the most part, you're not, like, a douchey dude, so rock on.
Now,
but these other people, like, with these professional shots and stuff, that's weird.
How do you get those like, look at this shot here. That's, like, in Sports Illustrated. This is, like, an action shot. Like, this is where he won the tournament. So,
like,
my sister
like one of his buddies in
shots.
The foursome took that, and it's like, well, you should be lining up your shot. You just spent $180 on that round two.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, or whatever the hell. Although, I think St. Andrews was pretty affordable.
Oh, really?
I think it was like $150 for a round. Yeah.
But I just thought to myself, like, my sister saw these shots, and she's like, look, either a professional photographer was hired to follow them, or there's a dude who has a crush on this guy in all of these shots. Like, but it's so funny. Now that's really the norm. And it's like, am I just maybe a moldy, coldy, crusty oldie Olson?
Who just takes pictures of you with your hockey buddies.
And that's it.
And then I just put up, like, you know, diatribes that actually are probably making fun of myself more times than not. Actually, I make fun of people. But I'm hopefully trying to get you to either do one of two things, laugh or think. But it's very rarely like, oh, here's what I did today. Awesome, 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 being me. Like, I think that, I don't even know if I'm capable of doing that.
Well,
actually, I'm not. To a detriment, I would go the other way, where I'd make fun of myself.
Well, here's the thing.
Therefore, I don't understand this Facebook mentality at all.
Well, the curating of the presentation and the images is one thing. But how would you feel if you were just consistently the one that was just asked to take the stylized People magazine picture?
And maybe there is a cottage industry out there for this. We put this, it's funny, ironically, I put this up on our Facebook page a few months ago, but this story of this photographer, and maybe this is, you know, a portent of things to come. Listen to this, dude. Like, warning.
I'm Soraya Zubas, and I was born in Iran, and now I live in New York.
Yeah.
And I'm a professional dick photographer. Back when I was single, I would get a ton of dick pics, and my friends would get them, and we would show them to each other. And some dick pics were better than the other ones, And I thought, what if I took them with a professional camera? Yes,
that is awesome.
And then
now this there may be a use for.
And I saw a couple of
she's hot too, dude.
I just kind of put two and two together. Yeah. And she's got little like outfits.
Yeah, she has a little outfits for penises that she makes.
And then I would talk about it with girlfriends.
So she is a professional penis photographer. She dresses it up. And she'll, like, take these intimate photos of dudes with their girlfriends or just dudes, period. And apparently she's making bank.
That is insane. I actually, one of the girls at work continually is getting dick pics. And they're not boudoir style. They're not very good. It's just random, coming from nowhere.
Yeah, and I've heard people, cop to this or cop to getting them. I've never heard anyone copping to sending them. But apparently, I almost want to see the proof.
No,
I gotta be honest.
No.
You've seen the proof?
Yes.
Are they different? Are they different dudes?
I don't look that closely.
Sometimes
they're videos of manipulation.
What?
Yes.
What? Yes. How? Why? How?
I'm telling you.
That's crazy.
I know.
Does it ever? It must work. Kids, it must work.
These kids today. No, I listen. It must work. There's a reason. Look, there's a reason that men act like piggish jerks. Yeah, well, we'll talk about it after the show. There's a reason that men act
like
piggish jerks.
Maybe if we put like a little doll.
Sometimes it works.
A little doll outfit on yours. And I mean little. Yeah. You can't use any of my kids' doll outfits, though, bro.
You don't even know me. If you're saying little.
Yeah, dude, like, it has to work. Like, there's no way that people would be this insane to be doing this.
I don't know if it works 100% of the time, but it has to work.
But when it goes south, it's got to go so south that, like, it's got to burn you for months.
And it's so weird to be in the middle of an office, like, on the 26th floor of some building in Chicago, and then all of a sudden, you just see some guy going for gold on a cell phone. It's odd.
Yeah, I think I would be more inclined to do like a little smiley face on mine. Like, did you ever play Chinigans with someone?
No, what is that?
When you draw like a face on your chin and then the other person she's on your lap and you guys are upside down to each other.
Yes.
And then your mouth and the chin becomes like a character.
Right, yeah.
So I would do that, I think, with my pecker. And I think it would be fabulous.
Maybe we've created our own industry. I'll take pictures.
Oh, I thought that your chin and my penis were going to get together at some point.
Man, with your chin and my penis, we're going places. That's a line, honestly, that's a line that could work. That, could you imagine the club scene? Ooch, 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 ooch.
Yeah,
man, with your chin and my penis, we can go places.
Right,
I'm telling you, it would work. You try it 10 times, one time it's going to get through.
Not
to
as crazy.
To a dirty whore.
It's not as crazy as just sending somebody a picture of your junk. Or as crazy as, like, I don't know, the Bible.
No, and then you're a little bit, you can back it up. Like, if it goes wrong, you can be like, I was kidding.
That's right. Did you ever play Shinigans, man? It's like a total thing from the 80s that you haven't done, apparently, because you're 12.
We have struck on some big things today.
Great job, Jones.
Yes.
I credit Prince.
I credit God.